Hello, I'm Kenneth Copeland. Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
So let's go to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, please. Mark chapter 10. This whole 10th chapter of Mark. Just pregnant with revelation, particularly in the financial world. Now, what you have to watch for when you're talking about money, there has been so much traditional wrong information concerning finances and the way the kingdom works financially, that you really have to be cautious about it, because some of the stuff just kind of, I don't know, it just sneaks back in some way. And like, for instance, there was not one poor man on Jesus' staff. All of them were wealthy men. I'm not talking about just getting along well. I'm talking about wealthy men. Wasn't a poor man among them. Now, I want to jump ahead of myself a moment. When Peter and John at the beautiful gate, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, walked in there, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." But, now don't get the idea he didn't have any money. Do you remember the last time they went fishing? Huh? You remember what happened the last time they went fishing? Jesus loaded their boat again. Then I want you to know, the fish were so big, you couldn't even pull that net. You think they ate all those? Hey, come on. This is just hours before the third chapter of the book of Acts, when Peter and John went through that gate. What do you think they did with all that money? I don't know. But the sense is left there that I don't have any on me at this time. I don't know. Maybe all those big fish were still on the market. But they were not poor. Glory, I said they were not poor, so you shout amen, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, people have had the idea from religious brainwashing and bad teaching and bad thinking that the first thing, they thought Jesus was poor. Do you think Jesus tithed? Well, certainly it would have been a sin not to. Do you think they wore the same clothes for 3.5 years? No. He said, "Don't bring anything with you. You're working for me now. I will supply it all." And in the Gospel of Luke, he said, "When I told you not to bring money, not to bring clothing, did you lack anything?" They said, "No, Lord, we lack nothing." Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, when a man take two little boys' happy meal and feed 25,000 people with it, you're not going to lack, brother. I'm telling you. Amen. Hallelujah. Then you can go to the book of Deuteronomy, particularly in the New Living Translation, and God literally said, "There should be no poor among you." Amen. Now, we love people, and I hate poverty. God, I hate it. It is of the devil. It's of the curse, and Jesus bore that curse. Glory to God. So, 10th chapter of the book of Mark. Verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Now this man is eager. Running. And kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." He answered and said unto him, "Master," or rabbi, "all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest." Boy, that's pretty good, isn't it? One thing? One thing? You know, he'd have said, "Kenneth, now I need to talk to you for about 3 days here." One thing that he had not done. Sell. He didn't say, "Give it." Did you catch that? He didn't say, "Give it to him." Latch on to that. Sell whatsoever you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. He didn't hear him at all. He didn't say, "Give it to the poor." He said, "Sell." He's about to sell. Sell out. Glory to God. Why, man, he starts selling all of that at Jesus' direction. I'm telling you, the man's about to get wealthier than he's ever been in his life. Because with Jesus directing his selling and directing his giving, and he's following Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah. Because Jesus is just about to talk about a hundredfold return. And this man walked off and didn't hear about that. Now, grief is a nasty killer. It'll make you make stupid and crazy decisions. Even when you have a loved one that goes home to be with the Lord, don't you dare get into grief. When the Apostle Paul was writing this to the church at Thessalonica, he said, "Sorrow not." The word translated sorrow is the same word translated grief. Don't grieve. We are not a people without hope. And then go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 57th verse. "Thanks be unto God, which always gives us the victory over death." Victory. Victory in Christ Jesus. That's the reason that our network is the Victory Network. Glory to God. God gave me that over 50 years ago. victory in Jesus, victory in righteousness, victory over death, victory in the new birth, victory in healing, victory in your finances. Glory to God. Our victory is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whoa. Glory be to God. Grief is brought about by a heavy sense of loss. He considered giving loss. That's not what Jesus told him to do. He did not just tell him to give. That's all he heard. Give what you have to the poor. That's all he heard. No, he told him to sell. Amen. But the big thing he missed. The only people to whom Jesus said, come, follow me, became the apostles of the Lamb. Think about it. Excellent replacement for Judas. Huh? Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Good thought, right? Now, tradition has it that this young man was Barnabas. Praise God. And I tend to believe that because, you know, it was Barnabas that started all that giving. You remember when Ananias and Sapphira got in trouble? Well, it was Barnabas that started that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isn't that good? Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He could have and should have said, Jesus, I don't understand this. I don't know. That grieves me. But I'm not leaving you. You're the one with the words of life, and I'm staying with you. Then Jesus would have explained it to him because he explained it to his own people there after he left. Now listen to Jesus explain to the members of his staff. Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, had these been poor men, they'd have said, yeah, that's right, boss, you tell it. Yeah, that's right. Them rich cats, they ain't never going to make it. No, the disciples were astonished at his words. They'd never heard anything like that. You don't find Jewish people believing that today. Come on. I can almost hear your head working, thinking. Amen. See, that poverty doctrine did not come through Israel. No. It was Gentiles that knew absolutely nothing about the first covenant, the first testament. So now, Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Now he further explained it. It's not the ones that have the money, it's the ones that trust it. The one that put their faith in that instead of God. It's very difficult for them to... That's what was the problem with this rich young ruler. Jesus was putting him into a position where he would have to use his faith first of all to sell, and then he would have to use his faith and believe God. And instead of having all that money, he'd just pay for whatever he wanted to pay. He didn't have to believe God for it. Now, as all of your needs begin to be satisfied, you need to be cautious where you talk to God about everything you do instead of just, well, I got the money, just buy it. Now, wait a minute. Really? You make big mistakes like that. Well, Brother Cooper, no, now come on. How many of you know Keith Moore? Yeah. All right. Now back, I knew Keith well at this time, nowhere near like I do now, but he decided the Lord led him to get into aviation. And I had just a pristine little single engine Beechcraft Bonanza. It was my own personal airplane, and I just thought Bonanzas were just it. Back when I was flying airplanes for a living, I wasn't getting a living, but I was flying for one. And Gloria and I bought this little old airplane, and it's just spotless, just beautiful little airplane. And he said, Brother Kenneth, I would like to buy your Bonanza. Well, my immediate thought was, Lord, why don't I just give it to him? And the Lord said, no, don't do that. He said he wanted to buy it. So I just cut it down to, and Keith said, Brother Kenneth, I don't believe I want to pay that. Now listen. I said, well, okay, Keith, what do you want to pay? He said, I'd like to pay $15,000 more than that. Now, nobody thinks that way unless you're being led by the Spirit of God. Now, you can miss the deal of your life. This man missed the deal of his life by just being money-minded all the time and always thinking on the negative side of it like that, because he had already prayed about it and he already knew what the Lord wanted him to pay for that little airplane. Are you listening?
Yes.
I was praying over the sale of another twin engine airplane. And, I was going to buy... This was another personal airplane. And it isn't something that I need, but it's just something I like to fly on and on a personal basis. And I was praying about it. Now, here's what I intended to pray. Here's what I opened my mouth to say. Now, Lord, you know where that little twin is that somebody has somewhere, and I'm just asking you to lead me to it. But here's what came out of my mouth. Now, I had the money to buy the airplane. I could have just gotten in all the different trade magazines and just not paid any attention to God at all. I had the money to do it, and I found one I liked and just buy the thing. I'd have missed God 100 miles. Here's what came out of my mouth. God, there's somebody crying out to you right now that they have a Beechcraft Baron that they need to sell, and they're crying out to you right now, and I can answer that need. It came out of my mouth prophetically. Come to find out. Oh. A woman whose husband just unexpectedly died of a heart attack. This was their airplane. Her daughter, she lived in Harrison, Arkansas. Her daughter went to Brother Keith's church in Branson and had turned in a prayer request to help mother sell their airplane because this is such a sudden thing. And it was so amazing how all that worked out. And right there at that time, there was a recession going on, and her airplane on the market wasn't worth what she needed to get out of it. And I asked her, I said, what do you need to get out of it? Oh, she said, Brother Kenneth, it's not worth it. I didn't ask you what it's worth. I can figure out what it's worth. I want to know what you need. Well, it was more than the airplane was worth. And I said, praise God. We had it officially appraised and found out exactly what it appraised for. And then I gave her the difference over what it appraised for. See, that's what this man missed. Is doing business with Jesus. Amen. And when they closed the deal, I was scheduled, couldn't be there, but my longtime partner in that business, he was there to watch over it and so forth, and all the paperwork and so forth. And her lawyer was there, and he said, well, now, we're not going to pay for that appraisal and all that. He said, no, you don't understand. She's not going to pay for anything. What do you mean? He said, no, Brother Copeland's paid for it already. And he's paying her more than her airplane's worth. He said, really? And one old boy standing there, God, I'll tell you, that's what a ministry ought to be like. Boy, everybody in the room just started bawling. It got all over that airport, what that ministry has done for this widow woman. Now, what am I going to do with an airplane? And I'm excited about it. Glory to God. Tracy, that was a pressurized baron. There was a guy contacted me. He said, I have got to have a pressurized baron, a P baron. And I heard you have one. I said, yeah, I do. And he offered me more than I gave her for that airplane. Doing business with Jesus. Hey, glory. Come on, give the Lord a praise.
My name is Trevor, and this is my wife, Suska, and we are currently living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So through the ministry of Kenneth Copeland, there's been such a shift in our lives where we've had words from him and words from the Lord through him that have impacted our lives and have sent us in new directions to the United States and to who knows what else. The partnership felt like I felt a real strength from partnering with him as soon as we partnered in the spirit that I was like, that was awesome, that was really good.
His ministry has given us tools to walk through the season. When we're facing health, when we're facing financial issues, we can go to the Word and we can get Bible verses, you know, not just pick them out, which ones do we want, but actually ask the Lord, which verses are your promises to us? And then put them up on a piece of paper and tape it up on the wall and, okay, we're going to declare this and believe it. And it has brought so much peace and stirred up our faith and our confidence and just assurance that, okay, God is going to keep his word.
For me, one of the big things has been like, if learning to stand in the authority of the believer, that's just been such a huge deal that I really appreciate about, you know, Kenneth Copeland.
Every month the partner letter comes and it's literally on that day at the exact time that I read it, hey, we were just talking about this, and it's an encouraging word from Kenneth Copeland to say, okay, you got to worship the Lord. And, you know, we're feeling, oh, we don't want to do that. And I'll keep scrolling on the letter and it'll say, your flesh won't want to do this, but you need to do this. So get up and start using your mouth to praise the Lord. okay, we're going to use our mouth and praise the Lord. And we just start praising the Lord, and it gets better. And so every time that has come through, it's just been like a really timely, encouraging word that gives us that little boost, you know?
As we begin this study of prosperity, let's read the basic scripture on which our whole study is founded. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.
The laws that govern prosperity have never changed, because the truth of God's word is unchanging. Through the Laws of Prosperity book by Kenneth Copeland, you'll discover the truth about prosperity as God intended it. Over the years, the look of this book may have changed, but the message has remained the same. God wants you to live the prosperous life. As you give cheerfully and generously, God will cause every blessing to come to you. He wants you to be able to give to others, to help meet their needs. This is the way God's system works.
Hey, this is the book I was telling you about.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I would say, first of all, true prosperity is the ability to use the power of God to meet the needs of mankind in every realm of life. Spirit, soul, body, financially, socially.
Request your free offer from Kenneth Copeland Ministries today. These resources will help guide you in further understanding God's Word. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call us 800-600-7395. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information. Be sure to request your free offer today.
Whether you are living right now in God's abundance or you're still on your way to it, God wants to do business with you. And He has the plan to prosper you, the plan to keep you prospering. And you need to know that poverty is a curse, and it's a curse that Jesus bore. And just like the rich young ruler, Jesus wants to share with you the laws of His kingdom and show you how to make them work in your life. Because one plan from God can turn your whole financial situation around, turn your whole family around, turn your whole life around. So when you dig into His Word, you tune your ears to the Holy Spirit, you receive His plan for your life. And we want to help you with this plan. So this is why we're providing this free resource. It's a book entitled The Laws of Prosperity by Kenneth Copeland. Of course, God's prosperity is so much bigger than finances, though that's certainly a part of it. When you get a hold of this, you're going to learn firsthand from Kenneth Copeland what 3 John 1:2 means when it says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You need to know that God wants you whole in every area of your life, not just your finances, but your health, your emotions, every part of your life. And now, when Kenneth and Gloria Copeland first started learning these laws of prosperity, their entire lives were transformed. Their thought life, their bodies and health, their emotions, they were living deep in debt, but then they went from that to being able to give and give big on every occasion, and your life can change just like this. So if you want to get a hold of this book, go to kcm.org and request your free copy today. Thanks so much for watching today, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.